You'll be happy to know that we are almost at the end of this series, Therefore Go Into All the World, which has been a pretty challenging series indeed. And so we're going to hopefully take a little bit of break from so much challenging of messages. And on 2 weeks from today, on Thanksgiving weekend, we're going to be having a Thanksgiving service with one service, our annual harvest offering, which will be going to two things. The last few years, we've tried to divide it up between something that's across the world and something that's local. So this year, half of it's going to go to Mennonite Central Committee and their work in Syria and Iraq, especially working with refugees. And the other half is going to go to Mennonite Disaster Service as they're trying to raise money for the Ohio section for a tool trailer. So we're going to help them out. And then, actually, it's the beginning of Christmas, and believe it or not, it's coming very rapidly. I have two confessions to make this morning. One is, I still continue to be surprised at how the Holy Spirit works. And you would think by now I would know better, but when it comes to most things, I'm usually a pretty slow learner. And as I thought about that, really, I don't know anything that I'm not a slow learner when it comes to, so it takes me a while to catch on. But when I think about doing this series, the thought occurred to me way back at the end of my sabbatical, and I was looking at that book by Brad Briscoe and Lance Ford, Missional Essentials, which is all about going out into our own community and sharing the good news. Way back then, I never thought about the storefront or the grove or reaching out in our own community in that way. And then my other confession is I seem to be pretty slow in recognizing how much Satan works in our lives. And that the more we are on the path that God wants us to go, the more Satan wants to get involved. And so there I was at 12:30 this morning in a deep sleep when my pager went off. My fire department pager, and I usually don't get up on Saturday nights because I think there's enough other guys, and I usually don't go back to sleep when I wake up. But they said there was smoke in the building at 125 North Detroit Street, which made me think, hey, that's the address of the Grove. And so I got up, and sure enough, there was smoke in the building. So all you guys that did all that work yesterday cleaning up, you must have shook the building up pretty good, but apparently there was something electrical that had been a problem for a while, and when we plugged certain things in, it just got it going. And fortunately, God was at work because the tenant was at home up at 12:30 in the morning, and he smelled smoke. So for those of you who clean the back bathroom, it doesn't quite look the same as it did before we got there. So there's a little hole in the wall, and but God did save it, and I think we are continuing to be on the right path where God calls us to go. And it fits very well with our scripture this morning from Luke chapter 10. And it comes at a very important point in Jesus' ministry. In fact, it's moving from mostly Jesus' ministry, where it talks about all the things that he did, the miracles, the healings, the feeding of the thousands, the partial recognition of who Jesus was by his disciples, and the witness of the transfiguration. And then, as Chuck pointed out, we get to the end of chapter 9, and Jesus tells his disciples that if they really want to be his followers, if they really want to follow him, then they first need to stop and count the cost. And now he's moving from his 12 original disciples to the 70 or 72. And I say 70 or 72 because even though the NIV says 72, some of the original manuscripts say 70. And I tend to think it's 70 because there's something very significant about that number. If you are part of a Mennonite, a missional discipleship group, and you've been reading through the Exodus, we have Moses, we have the 12 tribes of Israel, and we have the 70 elders that went with them to the, at least to the base of Mount Sinai. We get to the New Testament, and we have Jesus, we have the 12 original disciples, and then we have the 70 which were to follow. And any time the number 7 or a derivative of that is used in the Bible, it should make us sit up and take notice, because almost always it represents completion or the ideal. So when we get to our passage this morning and Jesus is sending out the 70 or 72, it's probably not just referring to that first group of disciples after the original 12, but it's probably referring to Jesus' disciples of all time. And after they have counted the cost, then we get one of Jesus' most popular commands, which is go. It's like Jesus is saying, what are you waiting for? Go. And where are they supposed to go? Well, they're supposed to go out into the different towns around them, mostly proclaiming that the kingdom of God has come near. And although it tells us that we're supposed to go as twos, I'm not really sure that specific number is important, though we know that the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses do, because that's why they go out in twos. But I think what he's trying to say is that we need others for mutual encouragement if we are to go. In fact, he says, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. The charge for Jesus' followers for all time is that we're supposed to go out into the towns around us and proclaim the kingdom of God. And we're supposed to do some of the same things that Jesus did, like healing and driving out demons and showing compassion to people, the least of these, and offering forgiveness to sinners, which comes through Jesus Christ. And though it might not be as noticeable here as it is in the Great Commission, it does say, or he promises, he will be with us if we do what he tells us to do. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others, and he sent them out two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was to go. Through our scripture this morning, Jesus is telling us that we are supposed to go into the town or the towns around us, proclaiming that the kingdom of God has come near. And if we do so, he promises us that he will be with us. So where exactly are we supposed to go in the towns around us? Well, the title of the message this morning is Cheers, Engaging Third Places. And for those of you that might be close to my age, there was a television show in the late 80s and early 1990s, which was probably the most popular television show at the time, entitled Cheers. In fact, after I went back, and sometimes as I prepare for my message, sometimes it's a pretty long week, but then other times it goes pretty well. I was trying to search out a video clip to use for this morning, one that would be appropriate for church. But then I noticed when I was looking at that and watching all the actors and actresses, just thinking about all the actors and actresses that show launched their careers. Ted Danson, Shelley Long, Kelsey Grammer, Rhea Perlman, Christy Alley, and Woody Harrelson. And it takes place in a bar in Boston. And one of the most popular scenes every week is when one of their regular customers bursts through the front door of the bar and everyone shouts out his name in unison, Norm. And then Norm would proceed to the bar where he would take his usual seat. So the video clip I found for this morning is actually from one of the last shows of the final season.
Oh, all right, Naomi, you beat me fair and square, so all right, let me buy you a beer. There. Excuse me, I was sitting there.
Oh, there was no one here when we came in.
No, I mean yesterday. And really, since the Ford administration.
We're just waiting for our table up in Melville's.
So you'll move?
Look, there's lots of other stools.
Look, sounds kind of, I'm Norm.
I'm Jeffrey, this is Hillary.
It's nice to meet you. What do you do, Norm?
I sit there.
Well, it's nice meeting you.
Look, this is... We're running out of time here. He's already two stages beyond anything I've seen before, so I think you better give him the stool.
I'm sorry, we're sitting here.
What's all the commotion about?
Who cares? Set him up, Wood.
All right, now, I mean, you beat me fair and square, so,
Actually, I chose that video clip because that is how many of you look when you come in on Sunday morning and you do see somebody in your chair. But the tagline of the show and the song that began each episode, anybody know? Where everybody knows your name. Making your way in the world today takes everything you've got. Taking a break from all your worries sure would help a lot. Wouldn't you like to get away? Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name. And they're always glad you came. You want to be where you can see that our troubles are all the same. You want to be where everybody knows your name. And then when I did a little bit of research on that song, I discovered that there's more lyrics to that song that are never played on this show. Lyrics like, all those nights when you've got no lights or the check is in the mail, and your little angel hung the cat by its tail, and your third fiance didn't show, or you roll out of bed and your Mr. Coffee's dead, the morning's looking bright, but your counselor ran off to Europe and didn't even write, and your husband wants to be a girl. Be glad that there's one place in the world where everybody knows your name, and they're always glad you came. You want to go where everybody knows that people are all the same. You want to go where everybody knows your name. You see, that song represents the brokenness which lies in all of us. This venue, in this case a bar, actually represents one of the few places in the world where people can be just accepted for who they are, where everybody knows their name. You see, today we find ourselves in a society and in a culture which more and more people feel alienated and isolated than ever before. Hence, all the drug abuse, hence the suicide rates. We've gone from a culture in which almost everybody knew not only each other's name, but they actually knew many things about you because we interacted with our neighbors on a regular basis. And we've gone to a culture in which very few people know much about us, if even our name. Over the last several decades, we have moved from a culture of community, of neighborhoods, and of corporate involvement and activities to one of mostly individual activities, like time spent on the computer or video games and unlimited television options. The second half of the title of the message this morning is Engaging Third Places. And it actually comes from a phrase that was coined way back in the late 1980s by a sociologist by the name of Ray Oldenburger. And if there's any people or group of people that sees the changes on the horizon, it's usually sociologists. And the title of his book was entitled The Great Good Place. But here's the subtitle, which I think says it all. Cafes, coffee shops, community centers, beauty parlors, general stores, bars, hangouts and how they get you through the day. How's that for a subtitle? And in 1996, he wrote an article entitled "Our Vanishing Third Places," about the devastating effect that the changes in our culture have had and the reason many people feel isolated and alienated. And he noted that most residential areas built since World War II have been designed to protect people from community rather than connect them to it. Virtually all means of meeting and getting to know one's neighbors have been eliminated. An electronically operated garage door out front and a privacy fence out back afford near total protection from those who in former days would have been our neighbors. And in the process, we have eliminated many third places. What's the third place? Well, Oldenburg says that our first places are our homes and the people with whom we live. Our second places are where we work, where we spend most of our waking hours. And then he defines the third place as a place which is usually in a public setting that hosts regular, voluntary, and informal gatherings of people. It's a place to relax and have the opportunity to be known by others and for them to know us. It's a place where people like to hang out. And then he defines a third place with eight characteristics. And these are the characteristics of a third place. One is they are a neutral ground. People are free to come and go as they please. The second thing is they're usually on level ground, where there's no social or economic barriers, or at least fewer ones. Third, conversation is the main activity. Fourth, they're accessible and accommodating. Five, there are both regulars and visitors. Regulars are usually identified like Norm, but it's also open to visitors. It usually has a low profile. In fact, he says, as a physical structure, it is usually plain and unimpressive in appearance. Okay, the Grove. It usually has a playful mood. In fact, often there's food and refreshments and even games, which makes people want to stay longer and want to come back. But most importantly is number eight. It's a home away from home. At their core, third places are places where people feel accepted for who they are. Brad Briscoe and Lance Ford, in their book Missional Essentials, ask, why is it so important for Christ followers to understand the concept of third places? And they answer, because the vast majority of people in the United States are living isolated, relationally impoverished lives, and third places offer an opportunity for missional-minded people to live in proximity to others. And then they offer two main options for identifying third places. And the first is they say that as Christians, we should go out and we should look in our own community for third places that already exist. Where are people already hanging out? And so I thought about our own community, like the local football games or other sporting events where lots of people gather. I thought about the coffee shop, Coffee Matters, and then the local restaurant, the Liberty Gathering Place, which even the idea of a third place is in its title. Or maybe it's joining an organization that already exists. And then the second option they offer is to create our own third places. And that's when it really hit me that the Holy Spirit is working. That's exactly what we're trying to do with the Grove without even knowing we were doing that. You see, my message for this week, engaging third places, works and ties in very closely with my message from last week, pursuing biblical hospitality, which we defined as loving the stranger, the alienated, the least of these. You see, what we're trying to do is to close the gap between those who are alone and alienated in our own community to a community where everybody knows each other's names. Briscoe and Ford give us this as the primary reason for finding and creating Third Places. Our engagement with Third Places should first flow out of our desire to see those who are relationally disconnected drawn into life-giving relationships with others and ultimately with the life-giver himself, God. But secondly, it should flow out of the recognition that as an increasing number of people are less and less interested in the activities of the church, it is we, as the missionary people of God, who have to engage others on common ground or third places. But if we look at our scripture carefully, I think Jesus gives us a couple caveats. The word caveat, defined as a warning as one engages in certain acts or practices, just as he did his original disciples and as he sent out the 70 or the 72. First, the warning. He says, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. In his sending out the original 12 recorded in Matthew, not only does he say that, but then he says, therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. And then Jesus tells us that not everyone is going to receive the message or to be open to it. Some are going to be downright hostile to it. Some will just ignore it. But that's not supposed to stop us from going out and doing what he tells us to do. About seeking out, about finding those individuals in our own community who are ripe for hearing and receiving. Or maybe that are just open to having someone in their lives who cares for them, who just wants to listen to them, who want to know their names. Third places provide the opportunity for no immediate expectations, where people can be accepted for who they are at their current stage in life. And the other caveat is that I think God wants us to be wise about the third places that we pick. I think we need to be careful that it isn't a third place which takes us away from the kingdom of God. As much as Cheers might have been a good show on television and it might have been a good illustration for this morning, I'm not sure that God really wants bars to be the place where we hang out. The Bible does tell us that drunkenness is sin, and a good number of people can't make the distinction between what is temperate or moderate when it comes to alcohol use and when it crosses over the line to becoming destructive and an escape for addressing our issues. And though the current attention is on dangerous drugs in our own community, like heroin and cocaine, and rightfully so, alcohol by far is still the most abused drug in the United States, though it is socially acceptable. And while those of us who grew up watching Cheers grew very fond of the different characters, what we really don't see is the toll their lives would have taken on their families if they really spent that much time in the bar. And since it's socially acceptable, we need to dig to find the statistics. And so I looked this week. Any idea of how many people die in the United States every year because of excessive alcohol use? 90,000. More than 10,000 men, women, and children still die each year in traffic-related accidents, which is one-third of all traffic fatalities. You see, as we reach out to our community to become more missional, we need to be careful of the message that we're giving out and that we're not hindering the kingdom of God, whether it be in our own lives or in the lives of the people we are reaching out to and to our community. We need to be finding and creating third places which are healthy and life-giving. Let's pray. Lord God, we just come to you today. We give you thanks for all the blessings that you give us. We give you thanks for the blessing of each other. We give you thanks for calling us together. And we give you thanks for sending us out into our own community to proclaim that your kingdom has come near, doing the things that Jesus did, healing, driving out demons, having compassion on people, and forgiving people their sins through your Son, Jesus Christ. In his name, the name that is supposed to be over all other names, we pray. Amen.